Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Our readings today are taken from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35, and Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16. We begin a new sermon series for Lent entitled Everyone, Everywhere, Growing in Faith. The talk is by our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Growth.
Our first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in his branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, reading verses 7 through to 16. Paul has been talking in his letter about unity in the Spirit. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Jesus, this is your church, and we are your people, and you are our leader. As we explore what it means to grow into all the life that you have for us individually and as a church. May we be open to the work of your Spirit in us and through us, that your name may be glorified and that many may come to you and know you. Amen. So in that prayer you heard the word growth, and that's what we're going to explore for the next 6 weeks. So we finished our Talking Jesus course, but a little bit later on I will say actually we haven't finished, we only started. I do hope that you've enjoyed, that you felt strengthened, encouraged by the course. But of course, if you now put it aside and say, oh, I've done the course, I've ticked the box, that's fine, then you've missed what the course was all about. It is about continuing to grow into learning to share our story, into learning to pray for our friends and families and neighbors, so that God will open doors and will give us opportunity to share the story of Jesus, the gospel, with our friends. And so this course is a kind of a little bit of a follow-up. We're going to continue to grow. It's an initiative from the Diocese of Bath and Wells, and you can find a lot of information and videos if you Google Everyone, Everywhere, Growing in Faith, Bath and Wells, you'll see. But if you're in a group, whether you're meeting in home or meeting here in the church, you will explore some of those material in the next 6 weeks. And those are some of the questions we will try to answer through the 6 weeks. What does it mean to grow in faith? Who and what helps us to grow in faith? And how do we grow in faith? So just an overview of those 6 weeks. Today is the first letter of growth, which is the G for growth. And so we're going to look at what faith growth means and what it looks like. Next week we're going to look at rhythms, and one of the rhythms that Felicity shared is that the rhythms of prayer, maybe some the importance of silence, the rhythms of reading the Bibles, the rhythms of confession, the rhythms that we put in our days, in our weeks, in our months, in our years to help us grow in faith. The third week will be others, how each other we are helping one another to grow in faith. We need the people around us. The central place of Scripture, the Bible, of finding regular time to read, to digest, to apply Scripture in our lives. The faith communities, the togetherness, not just us as a local church, St. James, but how all the churches here in Taunton in the country can help us grow in our faith. And then the hope we have in Christ on our faith journey. So that's going to be for the next 6 weeks. Look a little bit at this picture. What does this image says to you about growing in faith? Different trees, you can see, looks like a family there. Some people on their own, some people are a bit small, some people are a bit bigger. Attentions might be drawn to those trees. Some are leafy, some look a little bit, you know, kind of unleafy. They're all different. Some are a bit small, some are a bit big. Might say something about seasons. We might be in a wintry season, but it's still a God season. Sometimes we need to leave, shed a little bit of our leaves. Sometimes we need to be pruned. Winter is a good season to get deeper, to have our roots going a little bit deeper in the ground, so that when spring and summer comes, new flowers, new birth, new life. So it's not that if you don't look like the very leafy, that you are unspiritual. That might be a season in your life, but we're all so different. Now, what really impressed me, I don't know if you've noticed, but the background is a bit strange, no? Actually, if you look very close, they are all little picture of Zoom. And they've put all in the background to tell us, you know, it's everyone, everywhere, growing together, and we need each other to do that. So we're going to look at a video. Each time there is a video, and if we have time every week, we'll see that video. In that first video, I know, Joe, that you are taking part of it, so you will see one of our members saying something about what growing in faith is for her. But it's a great encouragement because it's different people, different age, talking about those questions. What does it mean for me to grow in faith? How do I grow in faith? And what is growing in faith? Why is it important? So hopefully it works. Do I need to press just one more and then it works?
In my opinion, growing in your faith means to get close to God, learn more about the Bible, then share that knowledge about the Bible, along with your relationships within your church, with other fellow Christians, or with atheists, so you give them a chance to learn more about the amazing book that you know about. In my opinion, growing in your faith isn't just one thing, it's loads of little things.
I used to think that growing in faith was about propositions, following the rules and doctrines and knowledge, I guess, really. But I've come to believe that it's more about trust and about love and how we live into that with God and with others.
The Bible makes it clear that faith and works are two sides of the same coin. And I think growing in faith means that increasingly you are taking what you know and believe about God and your felt experience of God, and you're carrying them into your day-to-day life so that they actually affect how you handle different situations that you encounter. And so your faith is becoming a practical thing as well as a theoretical thing.
I think for me, a big part of me realizing I was growing in faith was just like enjoying more about God and stuff. Like, I was enjoying going to church. I was looking forward to spending that time. And I started praying every night, which is something I hadn't done before. And I think I just found it useful to be able to, you know, even in the day, in like more difficult situations, just knowing that I could pray. And it sort of came to mind a lot quicker than it may have done more when I was younger. Just that enjoyment and praying a lot more and stuff that I didn't do showed that I was growing in faith.
I think that people can tell what I believe by the way I behave, how I treat other people, how I spend my money. If that's obvious, then I'm growing in my faith. I'm becoming more faithful to Jesus.
It's important to grow in faith so that I really get into the depths of what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. And so that I can serve him better. If I understand more how to trust him, then perhaps I am better able to point others to see what he has done or can do or is longing to do for them.
Faith isn't just about practicing church on a Sunday. For faith to properly grow, you need to learn to apply it on a daily basis in every aspect of your life. Because the more you do that, the more you find your life being gradually transformed, and that changes not just you, but it changes people around you. And that's why growth of faith is so powerful.
It's important to me to grow in faith, because if my faith isn't growing, it's just static or even worse, shrinking. And as I grow in faith, my faith becomes more resilient and I get closer and closer to the version of myself that God created me to be.
My childhood trauma has been the major obstacle during my adulthood. I don't know how to love and to feel beloved. Faith grows in self-care and self-love. It transforms pain into strength. I'm trying to practice what I have learned from gospel during my daily life. When I start to say thank you to more and more people around me, I know Christ is within me.
Church, and like when I'm reading the Bible and praying and being around people who know about God and learning about him.
I used to work as a teacher with teenagers who couldn't go to mainstream schools for one reason or other. There were times when this work was really, really difficult, and I remember on the way to work a few times just praying, saying, God, if you don't help me today, if you don't help me act and react in the right way, if you don't help me see these kids the way you do, I'm not going to make it through the day. And those times were really tough, but I did grow a lot through that. And the students noticed that they were treated with kindness and dignity. And my colleagues also noticed how important my faith was to me in helping me to be effective in that work.
How might you, how might we as a church grow in faith? I hope you found this video helpful. Lots of different people talking about what growing in faith means for them. It's not just a head knowledge, something that needs to sink into our hearts, to be shown into our practice. People will see the difference that our faith makes, they will see that there is something in us, a gift that we've received that is growing, and we will be able, as we grow in faith, to share that gift. And so that's those two parables. It's all about something very small that grows into something very big. That's the parable of the mustard seed, or something very small that influence, that has an amazing influence, or like yeast in a dough that would influence the whole quantity, a huge quantity. My challenge is to continue, as we've just finished this series of Talking Jesus, to let that small beginning, that start of maybe being, believing again that your story can make a difference, believing again that, yes, God will open doors and opportunities for me to share something of my faith with my friends. Maybe, you know, you've been many years and you said, oh, they've never listened to me, you know, it's never going to change. And maybe for the first time you said, actually, I need to pray. I need to pray for those five people that I've put on my list regularly and to see. And I know that many of you have already seen some kind of breakthrough. You've invited your friends to Stable Manners. You had conversations. So let's continue. That's a small beginning that can grow. So it's not it's now for us to keep it up, to continue to pray, to practice also our story, to trust God that will give opportunities. You know that you've let me go to Burundi last summer, and that's also a picture of something small that has such a huge impact. We were only five people going to Burundi to train about 200 delegates into making groups and forming disciples. So we spent with a diocese 1 week and then with another diocese another week training them. Five of us training 200 people. I've heard some feedback that in one diocese, 50 groups have been formed from that training. 50 groups. Each group's about 10 people. That's 500 people that are at the moment being trained as disciples. Now, the model is that they want to see groups grow. So from the start, it's very clear that any leaders, as they form their group, not only they grow disciples, but they pray to see which other leaders in that group might be the next person to form another group. So in that diocese, they're already using Book 2, and so they are discerning 50 new leaders who then would be trained to do the training they have done so that they can form another 50 groups. So five forming 50 groups that are training 500 disciples who in a year time hopefully will train 50 leaders who will form another 500 disciples. That's five that becomes 1,000. That's the kind of things when we are in God's plan, things grow. A little seed that falls, that grows into something beautiful. And the whole movement of this training, which is called Rooted in Jesus, really started with two or three people I think about 15, 20 years ago, who had an idea and felt God was leading them into something. And they came together and they put this material, and they started very small. They visited one diocese in Africa, and God blessed, and it's growing, and it has been growing since. So I wonder what maybe God is putting in your heart at this moment. I was excited to hear what Lynn and Joycey, Felicity shared. What if that's a little start, something that God is doing, creating that space where we can, instead of doing, be listening, being slowing down, hearing God's voice afresh, letting him prune us and redirect us. So I wonder what God is saying to you. We will, by God's grace, all become that beautiful tree, each one a different tree. We will, by God's grace, as we allow him to guide us, have that amazing influence in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces. And I want to challenge us as a church to see also our groups, our life groups, whether it's at home, whether it's here, whether it's once a month, whether it's every week, to see our life groups as places where we pray for growth. We pray that it will grow, like those groups in Burundi. Our prayer should be often to Jesus says, Lord, help me to plant as many seeds as possible as I seek to bring that good news of Jesus around me. That's what it means to pray the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in my community, in my city, in my nation, and throughout the world. And then in our other reading, we have this words of Paul, and the key element is that we all have a role to play, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. We are all gift to each other. It's Jesus who gives that. And we've all received something to help the body of Christian grow in health, vitality, and maturity. It is Jesus who builds his church. It is Jesus who is building this local church, St. James. It is Jesus who talks to us in our hearts so that we play our part. And he gives, in that passage, first people, a series of people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he says to equip the other people, to equip his people, and they also do something for works of service. So commentary speaks here of gifts of person and gifts of task or service. No, they're all done, of course, with person. And those are foundational gifts in the early church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now, the apostles, we know them. There were 11 plus 1 plus 1. So 11 initial apostles, Judah being the betrayer and committing suicide, left that task. So they took on Matthias, who became the 12th. And then we have Saul, who meets Jesus on the road to Damascus and become the apostle Paul. And that was for that time. Those can't be repeated. But a lot of things, the ministry of apostles is still going on in maybe the sense of church planting that has that kind of same ministry of moving out, planting a new congregation. But it could also be seen as the senior church leaders, those who are responsible for a church, a parish, like a pastor, a priest, or a vicar. And they kind of, it's a very strange place to be because they kind of have a little bit of all the gifts because they need to be a little bit evangelist. They want to have a passion for the gospel and to share the gospel. They need to be a little bit of teachers, but they might not be the teacher. They need to have a pastoral role. So, and they have this prophetic role. But then you have more dedicated gifts, people gifts with, for example, prophets. Well, the best definition of, I think, what a prophet is all about is in 1 Corinthians 13, which says that those who prophesy speaks to people for edification. That's, they promote their spiritual growth. And they speak words of encouragement. They uphold and advise people concerning the matter of God. And they speak words of consolation. They bring comfort. Maybe the best kind of representative in our culture of prophets are those who are doing talks here in the church on Sunday. Mike Gillingham, Nick Toll, Ed Hoskind, James Haddell, David Wilkie. To a certain extent, maybe your group leader who bring about those words of encouragement, of building up, of edification, of comfort. But it could also be a book, a podcast, something you listen that nourishes your faith. So what about evangelists? Well, we've just moved on that series on talking Jesus. We all have a responsibility to share our faith, but we are not all evangelists. And I think evangelist, maybe the best picture, Billy Graham, is someone who preaches the gospel for the church. An evangelist is not someone who will come and talk to those who already have received the message. The gift is for those who haven't received the message. And so when we know of someone who has that gift, maybe we could invite them so that we can invite our friends and they can hear the message of God's grace. They have that specific gift to bring people to faith in a gentle manner. What about the pastors and the teachers? Pastors has this idea of being a shepherd, shepherding people, taking care of, guiding, advising, giving practical application of faith and word in the lives of people. And then we have teachers, those who have been given gifts of studying scripture, maybe knowing Greek and Hebrew and taking time to bring about the richness of all scriptures. I think we receive a lot of the teaching through now books. We have access through internet to amazing teachers. So do use that. But the key is that it is there to equip. It is there to equip one another. To equip us so that we, together, will find our place, will find our service, will find our ministry, which will be led by God's Spirit, so that the church will grow. And it grows into what? It grows into unity. Unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And different ways of saying through the New Testament is that growing in understanding who God is and understanding what His will is. Discerning between good and evil for my life. Practicing truth. Growing in my knowledge, my experience of Jesus. And serving out of a growing sense of being loved and wanted to love. That's at the heart. That's the fullness of being in Christ. Christ knew who He was. He knew He was fully loved by the Father. He was fully connected with the Father, and He was able then to express the perfect will of the Father. No one is there yet, not even your vicar. I think your vicar feels very far from that. And that's why we need to grow. And that's why we need each other. We need each other. And sometimes we need each other to sharpen each other. And that's hard. To tell each other sometimes difficult truth, but in love. So that we will be more and clearer in God's will. It is the Spirit who is going to enable you to do service, works of service. Grow in an area of service, a role. It is Him who will give you the strength, the direction, the wisdom. Just look around what needs to happen on a Sunday for the ministry of worship, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word to take place. People have found place is there, the welcome team, who are welcoming people but also wants to make sure that anyone new feels at home quite quickly, can find new friends, can have questions answered. Those looking in the background for making sure technology is ready, the music, the singing, those serving tea and coffee and bringing hospitality so conversations can take place after the service. And that's just to name a few, the prayer ministry, just on Sunday. And of course, we have the week, those who are opening their homes for groups, those who are working in the background, coordinator, to make these facilities a working place, a place that is clean, that is welcoming, those who are making sure that people are safely recruited, looking at safeguarding. You each are a gift to someone, and you each are called to have that influence. And that's what Paul finishes there. For him, the whole body then, joined and held together, when it really works well, when everyone learns to play their role, by every supporting ligament. You might just be a ligament, but you're still an important ligament. You know? We always want to know, oh, I want to be the head. Oh, I want to be the strong hand. Who wants to be just a hidden ligament? But you need it. Everyone is important. Every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part. Does its work. Looking back at that picture, I wonder where you are, what is God telling you in your season of life? And I think this idea of season is so important. Sometimes we start something and we think it's forever. And we don't realize that maybe sometimes something is for a certain time, a season, and maybe it's coming to an end. And that's difficult, to lay things down. Maybe you're not very sure, but you want to pray. Maybe your season is pruning. Maybe it's a bit wintry. Or maybe you have been growing into something, and it's exciting. And God shows you more. We all have a role to play. And before COVID, we had that prayer as a church, prayer for growth. And we're going to use that every week during this series. And as we pray together, pray for you specifically. And listen to what God is saying, to where maybe God is guiding you and leading you. So this is the prayer. Together we say, Heavenly Father, increase in number your church at St. James as you deepen us as followers and learners of Christ. Help us to show uninhibited reliance on your grace and power as we seek renewal of our lives, our church, our community, and our world. Give us courage, imagination, and generosity in order that your kingdom may come and your abundant life be known by all. We make these prayers in the name and the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.